And hopefully today I can inspire us and stir us and help us to see what Christianity, what really matters in our lives when it comes to Christianity. I'd like to start out in a word of prayer, and then we'll open up our Bibles and see what God has to say for us today. Father, we are grateful to be here. Thank you so much just for this opportunity. Thank you so much for everyone that's traveled distances away from Tulsa to come here to be able to have a time together that we can enjoy each other's company and grow closer to you. Father, we pray that today's message will be one that helps our hearts to grow closer to you. Help us, Father, not to be distracted by anything in the world, anything that Satan may throw at us to try to hinder us from really getting out of the time today what we need. Let this be the beginning of a tremendous weekend, Father. Help us to continue to grow and help our relationship to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could turn over into 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I hope this workshop has been incredible for you so far. If so, don't worry, it's not over. There's still much more to do. Much more to see. If you've just gotten here, it's been a great time and it's going to continue to be a great time. I'm kind of glad I'm down here. It makes it a little more personal. We can kind of have a relationship as I'm talking to us here. But my topic today is Christianity. What really matters? You know, there's a lot of things that people discuss and have conflict over and thoughts and theories on. There's a bunch of things out there. But what really matters if we're going to live the Christian life? 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, the Scripture says many things, but one of the things it says, if we're to be followers of Christ, if we are to follow Christ in His likeness, we need to be transformed into the likeness of Christ with ever-increasing glory. This is what matters to God, that we are being transformed into the likeness of His Son. That is so important for us. It's a must for us to see and to understand that. In chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, I got a lot of Bible for us today. If you don't have a Bible, you can just write the scriptures down, because we're going to go to God's Word today. I have no authority over you, but God has the authority. So the best thing to do is just to go from the Word, and we'll see what God has to say. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You know, we're all in a battle right now. It's a spiritual battle. But fundamentally, many of us look at the physical. How does someone look? Tall, short, thick, thin, black, brown, long hair, short hair, no hair. We look at those kind of things. And sometimes we get our self-worth or our identity from the physical. But what did Jesus look like? Well, the Bible doesn't really tell us what He looked like, but it gives us some concept. Isaiah 53, verse 2, says He grew up before Him like a tender shoot, like a root out of the ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to Him. Nothing in His appearance that we should desire Him. You know, we don't know exactly what Jesus looked like, but this passage tells us that there was nothing in His appearance that would wow us. Whoa, look at Jesus. There was nothing about Him like that. And see, we can't get caught up in the outside. What does God want? God wants us to be transformed into the inner parts of Christ. The inner Christ. That's what we're motivated by. That's why we wanted to become Christians, because of what's inside of Jesus, not the outer appearance. And this is what we ourselves need to focus on, the innermost parts of Jesus. Look at some of the comments people made about Jesus. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 54. Verse 53, it says, when Jesus had finished these parables, He moved on from there. Coming to His hometown, He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. You know, Jesus was disrespected. He was of no importance in his community. No formal education, so they were bewildered. Where did he learn these things? His family was poor. They weren't the most prominent people in the town. Yet we are to imitate Jesus and to become more and more like him. See, we're not to look at the outer parts of Jesus. We need to look at the inner man of who Jesus is. What was the character of Jesus like? You know, all through the Gospels, it gives us examples. He was righteous. He was wise. He had deep convictions. He was patient, loving, compassionate. I could go on and on. But the Bible tells us we should become more like Jesus. When it says that, it's not talking about his family life. It's not talking about the outer parts. It's talking about the inner man himself. You know, what is our goal? Our goal should not be to be the physical Jesus, but to be like the innermost parts of Jesus. To have the inner person of Jesus within us. To be the inner man, the inner woman that's similar to Jesus. That's why we follow Jesus, because of his inner qualities. What did Jesus come down so hard on the Pharisees about? Matthew 23. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Now we're talking about this because we can come to workshop and we can get excited and it can be great. But the key thing is, what are we going to do when we leave? What's going to happen when we leave Tulsa? Or if you're in Tulsa, what happens when we leave the workshop? See, this just can't be a weekend of excitement. It needs to be something that changes us. And God is calling us to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. That means even when we leave here, we're still going to be like Jesus and become more and more like Jesus. Matthew 23, verse 25, Jesus said, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside, they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean." Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. You know, sometimes we can be far too interested in the outer appearance. We can be more consumed with knowing the scriptures than living the scriptures out. Jesus said it doesn't matter how much you know, it's how you live your life. It doesn't matter how good the outside look, it's what's on the inside that God is calling us to change. Sometimes we value wealth, education, athletic ability, artistic ability. We value some of the things that Jesus did not or may not have possessed. If we lived during the time of Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, would we have been impressed with Jesus? Would we have followed him by his outward appearance? It says there was nothing in his appearance to wow us. But see, we don't follow Jesus for the outside. We follow Jesus for his inner parts, his inner being. The outside is temporary. The outside of Jesus died on Golgotha, but the inside didn't die. What was David thinking about in Psalm 51 when he came to grips with his sin? Psalm 51, verse 6. David, realizing, coming to grips with his sin, he says, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place." What is he saying? In his conscience, his heart, his mind. David knew that he was in sin, but he knew God wanted the inside of him to change, to be different. It's not just, "Oh God, please forgive me," but change. We need to ask for forgiveness, but we need to have the inner parts of our lives changed. 1 Peter chapter 3. You're thinking, man, this guy's going through all kinds of the Bible. We came to worship. Let's talk about the Bible. 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Now, ironically, this passage is about women. I'm not picking on the women. This is for all of us. But this is about a noble woman. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. You know what? This teaches us that we have an inner self and an outer self. You and I, we have an inner self and an outer self. We must transform our inner self to be like the innermost parts of Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what really matters. Are we being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ? I just have two simple things I want to point out for us today. The first thing is this. Christ's character should be our goal in life. Christ's character should be our goal in life. In Romans chapter 8, I think my ear is just a different size than other people. I'm having a little difficulty there. Can you hear me there in the back? I can't hear you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Amen? We like that. That feels good. That's true. It doesn't say everything in life is going to be great. You know, it was very challenging when we found out that our daughter was deaf. At age 1.5, we were moving from Dallas to Tulsa. A week before we moved, we took her to the doctor just to get a final checkup. And they came back and sat us down and said she has 90% hearing loss in one ear and 100% hearing loss in the other ear. The only thing she could hear is like a semi coming at her on one side. At 1.5 years, that totally shook us. That shook my faith. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to think. I thought, okay, this scripture says God can work out good in all situations, but what good can come from this? You know, just as it says in John 9, there's good can come about to glorify God. You know, we came to Oklahoma. We were able to go to some doctors in Oklahoma, and they allowed her to get a cochlear implant. That's where they put a microchip and a magnet in her skull, basically. And on the outside is a little microphone that attaches on the outside. It attaches to the magnet that they put inside of her skull. And through that microphone, she can hear things, and it totally bypasses her ear and takes it to the nerves of her brain. So she goes from being deaf to being able to hear. It was a miracle. We put the thing on, turned it on for the first time, and her eyes just lit up. As we started talking, she turned towards us, and we just flooded tears just came out of us, the doctors, all of us. It was just totally amazing. Miracles are still going on today, guys. The deaf can hear. They got implants now for people that are blind. They're creating implants for people to be able to see. They won't be able to see color, but be able to see different visions. Miracles are still going on. That's not that the doctors are so great. It's that God is allowing this to happen. The doctors are getting their skills through God. But guys, God still works for the good of those who love Him. Verse 29. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. What does God want for us? He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. What is His desire for you? It may be totally different than the person sitting next to you, because we have different gifts, different abilities. But the overall singular thing He wants for all of us is to become like His Son. That's His overall goal. That's what matters, that we become like Jesus Christ. Is that your desire? I believe it is. If not, you wouldn't be here. There's a lot of other things you could do than be here at 9 o'clock listening to me. I may be good looking, but that doesn't bring everybody in. Now, I don't know if that's good when people laugh when I say that. But look back in 2 Corinthians 3. We looked at it before, but let's go back there again. What are we talking about? We're talking about being transformed into the likeness of Christ. That's what God wants for our lives. That's what matters. Again, verse 17, it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You and I should be reflecting the Lord's glory. It should be oozing out of our lives. You know, there's a difference when my wife cooks dinner and when I cook dinner. You walk in the house, yeah, amen to that one, huh? Yeah, yeah! We walk in the house, you start smelling some good food cooking. You're like, mama's home. You come in, smell those TV dinners, daddy's cooking, microwave's going. There's a difference, you know, because just who she is oozing out even in the things that she cooks. My wife's Creole from Louisiana, not Cajun, Creole. Two different things, trust me. I called her mother Cajun one time. Did not go well. But because of her culture, she cooks things that just make you hungry even when you're not hungry. I cook things, microwave is off. But her character came out in just the stuff that she wants to cook. Why? Because you know what she's like. You know what? Our character, Christ, needs to come out in our lives. It needs to be oozing out of our lives. You could walk into our house and you could just smell the Cajun cooking. Creole, sorry. Still do it. But you know what? People around us need to just be able to see there's something different about you. You know, the first time I was converted in Kansas City, I went to the Kansas City International Church of Christ. I walked in there, and I saw everybody hugging each other. And I thought, what in the world is going on? I said, something's wrong. The Lord's calling you. I said, something's wrong here. What? They don't even know each other. Somebody came up to hug me, and I'm getting defensive. I'm like, whoa, he's back here. I didn't know what they wanted. See, all my life, I grew up thinking somebody wants something if they're nice to you. But you know what? In the church, they were just being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And when you're transformed into the likeness of Christ, you have that compassion. You have that love. You have that kind of character that embraces people. I thought, you know, this isn't bad. It was just different because my family didn't, you know, hug and say I love you to each other. It was just understood. But here it was like, man, this is so different. People really love each other. They're hugging each other. I thought that only happened on the Cosby Show. I couldn't understand it. I thought, is this real? But it's real when your character, your inner parts are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. You know what? God's fired up when he sees young people coming into his kingdom. But you know what? He's also fired up when he sees the older people. The gray-haired people. The no-haired people. The losing-haired people. When he sees all of us, he gets fired up. And the longer you're in God's kingdom, the more you need to be transformed into the likeness of his son. Amen. That's what it's all about. I used to look at the older Christians and think, how are they still surviving? I thought they would be extinct by now. And now I'm becoming one of those older Christians. But you know what? God has a plan for each of us, and that plan is for us to become transformed into the likeness of his son. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you're with me, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, just encourage a brother. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his great and precious promise. How do we know his promise? Through the word of God. That's how we know his promise. so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, escaping the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Do we understand what that's saying? It's saying because of the Bible, this is how we know its promises. Because of the Bible, we can participate in the divine nature. That means we don't need to just know this in our heads. We need to live this out. That's what participating means. We're living it out. We're being a part of it. It's changing us, transforming us into the likeness of Jesus. Lost my place. Why? So we can escape the corruption of the world. He wants us to become like Jesus. You know, it doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter how much you used to go to church. If you didn't go, I was one of those Christmas and Easter and my birthday. Those three holidays, the only days I used to go to church. Christmas, Easter, my birthday. I didn't even know what communion was when I first came to church. I was like, what are you doing? I can't trust this bread. I guess you can see I was kind of skeptical of things. I don't know what you put in there. I done seen all kind of movies. I can't just eat that stuff. I was like cautious of everything. Just very untrusting. But you know what? When you see God's likeness in different people, it breaks down those walls of mistrust. It helps you to see that something's different here. God is here. God is working. But regardless of our background, we can all participate in the divine nature when we're really practicing and living out His Word. 1 John chapter 2. Let me read a couple of scriptures for us here. Verse 6 says, whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Must walk as Jesus did. You know, there's all kind of things. What would Jesus do? Bracelets, shirt, shoes. Those things aren't wrong. But the real question is, what will you do? We all know what Jesus would do because we read the Bible. We can see what Jesus would do. But are we going to do it? When the temptations come, when things come our way, how are we going to respond as individuals? See, this is what matters. What are we going to be like outside of church? It's a little easier to be more spiritual when there's a group of people with us. But when we're out on our own, when you're driving and you get caught up in some traffic and somebody cuts you off, what are you going to do then? How do we respond then? See, it's more than just here. What are we going to take away from this workshop? Are we going to walk away and be more like Jesus? Are we going to walk away with more head knowledge? It's important that we really look at our inner self. Our outer self is going to die. But what's inside will continue to live on. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. Paul says, follow me, follow my example, as I follow the example of Christ. The primary goal for every person in this room must be the example of following Jesus Christ. Paul said, don't just do the things that I do, because you know what? I'm a sinner just like everybody else. But whatever I do that's like Christ, do that. Why? So we can become like Jesus. That's the important thing. You know, the guys that study the Bible with me, totally opposite of me. It was a short white guy. And he was a nice guy. I didn't like some of the things he had to say to me, though. But I appreciate him and I respect him because he looked at me square in the face and said the truth. You know you're not a Christian because of the way you're living. And it was obvious. College football player, trust me, it was obvious in my life. And it was very clear. I didn't like what he had to say, but yet I knew he was telling me the truth. I knew that what he said was the truth. I didn't agree with it, didn't like it, but yet I knew in my inner self, I knew what was really going on when nobody else was around. I knew what I was really watching on television when nobody else was around. I knew what I was really looking at when I drove down the street at the billboards and stuff when nobody else was around. And I put on a good facade on the outside, but when he started talking to me and the Bible started talking about my inner self needs to change, it was a whole other world. He started talking about evangelizing. I wasn't into evangelizing. I wasn't into sharing my faith. Playing football, I had a really good game. I don't remember who it was against, but I had a really good game, but I got knocked out in the fourth quarter. And I remember it was an interview. They interviewed us in the locker room. And they said, Maurice, how'd you feel about that first touchdown? And I just lied. I just said, oh, it was great. And I just saw it, and I went in there. I just made up some stuff. Don't even remember what I said. They said, what about the second one? And I just was stunned. It just caught me off guard because I didn't think I scored twice. And I just started stuttering. This was on television. And everybody in the locker room started laughing at me. And you wouldn't believe it, but everybody in the city of Lawrence must have watched that interview. At least that's what I felt. I went to the grocery store to check out something, and I said, how much is it? And she said, I just shut down at that point. I said, you know what? I'm not talking to anybody else. The world will be fine without me. I'm done. You're on your own. And I just kind of closed, withdrawn in myself. And then they came and started talking to me about, you know, Jesus was preaching and teaching. I thought, that's great for Jesus, but not me. I can't talk to anybody. Everybody in this city knows that I stutter at times. I just didn't have it in me to talk. They said, you know what? You can't be like Jesus if you're going to be that selfish. You're more concerned with who you are, Maurice, and how you look than being like Jesus. I thought, man, that's why I didn't like that little guy. But he told the truth, though. The truth does hurt sometimes. But I said, you know what? I can't even proclaim to be a Christian if I'm going to be more concerned with myself than I am with glorifying God. And I thought, you know what? I got to change. Why? Not because this little guy said so. I could have took him out real quick. But I got to change because this said so. Because the Bible said so. And this is what we've got to understand. We've got to do what the Bible says. We need to be like Jesus. We need to see it the way Jesus saw it. Be motivated by the things that motivated Jesus. Be encouraged by the things that encouraged Jesus. We've got to take on the inner character of Jesus Christ. You know, when we do that, you'll be a better husband than you were before if you're taking on the character of Jesus. You'll be a better wife than before if you're taking on the character of Jesus. You'll be a better son or daughter, brother or sister, a better person if you're taking on the character of Jesus. That's what it's all about. See, we've got to ask ourselves, am I taking on the character of Jesus? Second point here. Got to watch my watch. We've got to take care of our character because why? Our character can get better or it can get worse. Think about this. Peter went from a cussing fisherman to a preacher that converted about 3,000 people after his first sermon. That's character change. In the Old Testament, King Saul went from a humble man chosen to lead to a tyrant throwing spears at David as he played music to soothe his soul. That's character change. Apostle John went from a son of thunder that cursed people to the apostle of love. Character change. David went from a praying shepherd empowered by God and slaying the giant Goliath to an adulterer and a murderer. Character change. The woman at the well, she went from a pretty shaky reputation to a missionary that led the whole city to Christ. Character change. Job's wife went from a loving wife to a woman that looked at her husband in a moment of suffering and said, just curse God and die. Boy, that. He's right there. Our characters aren't going to remain constant. See, it's up to us whether or not we're going to allow ourselves and work at transforming our character to be more like Jesus. What can help our character to change? Having good friends around us. You know, bad company corrupts good character. What do we need? We need people around us that's going to help us be like Christ. We need people around us that will tell us the truth. Sometimes it doesn't feel good, but you know what? The truth will really set you free. And so many times, if we don't have those people in our lives, we can't be set free. Why do we need to go up to somebody and confess some specific sin? So we could be like Jesus? So we can cleanse ourselves? So we can be different and transformed? Well, each of us have got to have people in our lives that's helping us become more like Jesus. That's what it's all about. You know, it's great being here. We feel a lot of security and comfort. And these are great relationships. But you know what? We need to continue these kind of relationships and surround ourselves with these kind of people. I don't know if you guys know Booker Murphy. He's right here, one of the best song leaders in the whole world. Booker starts singing songs and praising God, and you get tired watching him. But you know what? When there's hard times, I can go to Booker. I can walk in church, and Booker say, "You doing all right?" "No. I didn't think you were. Let's talk about it." And he'll talk to me before I go up to preach to make sure I'm doing well before I get to the pulpit. See, that's the kind of people we need in our lives. Now, I'm not saying you don't have it, but we always could use more. That's what I'm saying to us here. People that we can really talk about the truth with in our lives. Look over at Mark 14. Example of Jesus. In one of his hardest times. Mark 14, verse 32. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said. "Stay here and keep watch with me." You know, Jesus, at a crucial time in his life, what did he do? He surrounded himself with close people in his life. We've got to have people around us that can help support us. You know, when everything was going on with our daughter and her deafness, we just thought we must be the only people in the world going through this. That's how I felt. We knew it wasn't true, but that's how I felt. As we started going into program and going through different things with her hearing and counseling and things, it's a whole group of people in Tulsa and Oklahoma City, hundreds of people that are in this program who have the same kind of situation or even worse, a lot of it. And we thought we were the only ones. But when we surrounded ourselves with people in the same situation, it helped us so much. And you know what? That's what it's about, guys. It's about being there for each other. Amen. Romans chapter 7. Verse 21. "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." You know, we're in a battle against Satan. Why? Because Satan doesn't want a city full of little Christ-like people walking around. He doesn't want that. That's not what he desires. So what is he going to do? He's going to try to do all he can to get you not to transform yourself into being like Jesus. He knows that's what matters. If I can stop you from being like Jesus, I've won. But yet he knows time is short. So what is he going to do? He's unloading all he can at you. He's making your tax return a little less than you expected, so you can get some attitude. Tax return coming in, he's making it. Your van or your car mess up. "I was going to use that money a different way. Doggone." Satan's out to get us in all kind of ways. Maybe he'll strike you with some illness or somebody in your family. Satan's trying to get you, but remember who already has won the victory. That's God. We've got to fight against Satan. He wants us to be more interested in our career than our character being like Jesus. He wants us to be more interested in our appearance of our marriage and family than how we're really doing spiritually. He wants us to get caught up in all these little things that don't really matter. What really matters is our lives being transformed into the likeness of Christ. And when we are, our work ethic will be great. Our family lives will be great. When we decide to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Look over in Luke 20 as we start to close up. Luke chapter 20. Verse 38. Jesus was questioned here about the afterlife, in a sense. And he says, they didn't understand it because he said, he is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all are alive. You know, what you build on the inside of your life is not going to die. And we've got to look and ask ourselves now, what am I building for the future? Sometimes people save up and build up all kind of great things and store them in their barns. But I've never seen a funeral go with a U-Haul behind it. We can't take anything with us, guys. Our outside will die. But what you're doing right now, preparing your innermost parts, is what's going to live forever. I want to close out here in the book of Revelation. I just want to read a couple of passages. Because this book was written to John to describe to the early church some things to build them up. Revelation 12. I want to help us see why we should fight, why we should transform our character. Let me read a few scriptures for us here. Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows his time is short." Look over in chapter 19. Verse 11. "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True." This is Jesus. "With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Look over in chapter 21, verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Last scripture here, chapter 22. Verse 12. Let's look at what Jesus says here as we close it up. "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give it to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, idolaters, and everyone who loves to practice falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star." Why should we transform our characters? So we can spend time with Jesus. We can be with God. We can be with the saved. You know what? I want to see that day coming when Jesus comes on his white horse. Picturing that. God and his armies, the cavalry behind him on their horses. I want to see the New Jerusalem. I want to be able to be with the saved. I want to be with the Lord. I want to encourage us all. What really matters is for us to transform our innermost parts, our character, into the likeness of Christ. That's what matters. That's what God desires for each of us. And once we do that, God will be glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you very much.